Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Happy to be here with my old young friend, Shane Spielvogel. He is the executive director of North Huntington EMS Rescue. And thank you so much for being here today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
So how many years have you been there now?
It's coming up on June 3rd. I'll have been here 10 years already.
10 years. Wow, that's amazing. Well,
time flies.
It does. I'm a North Huntington Township resident and former board member, so I was really happy to be on the interview panel that helped select you for this position. And I know you've done an exceptional job in North Huntington. For people who don't know much about North Huntington EMS, would you start from the beginning and kind of tell them the history and how big you are now and what kind of services you provide?
Sure, absolutely. And thank you for giving me the opportunity 10 years ago coming up. It's worked out really well for me and my family. And so North Huntington EMS was started as Rescue 8 in North Huntington Township in 1965. Up until that point, the ambulance service, if you could call it that, was provided mostly by funeral directors or police departments that had paddy wagons. And if you had a medical emergency in the home, they would come to your house, and basically it was a rapid transport to the hospital without a whole lot of care. Fast forward all the way until 2023, North Huntington EMS Rescue serves the 32 square miles of North Huntington Township. There are over 21,000 addresses now in the township. It continues to grow every year. We answer approximately 5,100 emergency requests for service every year. The vast majority of those are EMS or emergency medical service emergencies, people calling for ambulances. But we are a much more diverse organization. We also provide rescue services. So we have a state certified state rescue vehicle. It looks like a big fire truck. It's a big toolbox for getting people in out of bad situations, whether they are unfortunate enough to be in a car crash and need to be cut out of their car, or up a hillside, down a hillside. We have rope rescue. We're a state certified water rescue team, and so we're a part of the regional asset response plan for any kind of flooding or swift water emergencies that might happen. We provide tactical EMS coverage to several law enforcement agencies on high-risk activities. And we're also a community partner. We provide free immunizations every year for flu and COVID. We provide free car seat installations and checks for people who live or work in North Huntington Township or just need a place to go to get theirs done. We also provide CPR, first aid, stop the bleed, and Narcan training for over 4,000 people annually. So we are a very busy kind of growing service. We employ 17 full-time employees and have about another 15 part-time casual staff. And if you're looking for the trivia piece of the day, our old name, Rescue 8, is because there were 7 fire companies in North Huntington, and when they got together and formed the ambulance company, we were the 8th thing in the township, and so we're rescue company number 8.
How about that? We had a little bit of trivia there. That was fantastic. And it's wonderful to hear all the services that you provide to the community. Now, let's talk about subsidies. You know, we need to make sure that people at home understand that you're still fairly dependent on donations.
We are. So, one of the greatest challenges facing EMS today is support from the community and support from our government partners. So North Huntington Township has been very good to the 7 fire companies and to Rescue 8. However, with all that being said, the total contribution from our government partner is less than 10% of our total expenses. And so we are always looking and advocating for a sustainable, non-optional funding source for emergency medical services across the Commonwealth. The General Assembly actually dedicated or deemed that EMS was an essential service under the General Assembly's Act. And so it should be funded and supported as such. And so it's our hope that in the future, we can work with not only North Huntington Township just for ourselves, but just to better the EMS industry as a whole to get sustainable, non-optional funding directed toward EMS agencies.
The subscriptions, you know, you mail, you have the social media, the website, yep. And that subscription comes with a lot of benefits as well.
Right. So it varies from service to service. But for North Huntington Township residents, if you subscribe to the subscription plan, which is sent out every March by mail or is accessible via our website, www.nhems.org, you can subscribe. And what happens is if you need to use an emergency ambulance, after your insurance is applied, any bill that's left over, $100 is deducted from that bill every time you use the ambulance. So most people, thank goodness, don't need to use an ambulance on a regular basis, but there are some folks with chronic conditions or, you know, needs to go to the hospital for certain situations where it's beneficial to be able to do that. As an added bonus for township businesses, there is a business level subscription for a little bit more money. It's about $160 a year. But we train 10 of your employees in CPR for that $160.
Wow.
So to get those same 10 employees trained with us outside of the subscription plan would be $250. So you're actually saving $90 on that subscription.
That's phenomenal. I mean, that's a great perk. Wonderful. So you come to the place of business and do that, or they come to you?
We can really do it either way. If the place of business is somewhere that prefers that we come in and train their employees there and do it quickly, that's absolutely fine. If not, we're more than happy to host people here in our training center at the station.
I love that. That's phenomenal. That's a great perk, and make sure we talk to a lot of businesses about that. You know, I want to talk about a tragic loss that happened with your organization last year. So why don't you take us from the beginning and tell us a little bit about what happened?
Absolutely. So in July of 2022, July 19th, paramedic rescue technician Fred Mano was working his typical Tuesday shift. Fred was a paramedic for over 40 years in the Pittsburgh metro region. He had been here with North Huntington in various times, but was with us full time for 9 years. Fred came in right after I did as a full time employee. He and his partner had just completed a transfer on July 19th when Fred experienced sudden cardiac arrest in the ambulance in front of the residence where they were, actually. And so his partner immediately started CPR, started care, and got resources to Fred, who was transported to the hospital. And despite the physician's best efforts, and, you know, the love and support of everybody here and his family, Fred did pass away from his injuries on July 30th of 22, which was designated as a line of duty death for North Huntington EMS Rescue. The first one, thank goodness, that we've experienced in our time as being an organization. And I'll say that the amount of support that was pushed forward from not only local and regional agencies, but agencies across the country who have experienced a similar loss was phenomenal. People were anticipating needs that we didn't even realize we were going to have. And so we are in the midst of honoring Fred and making sure that his service, his time, his time spent with patients and families and making it better for them is not forgotten. And so in May of this year, one of our other paramedic rescue technicians by the name of Tom Anthony actually rode in the National EMS Memorial Bike Ride, which went from Boston to Philadelphia. And in July, this coming July, we will actually be traveling to Crystal City, Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., for the National EMS Memorial Weekend, where Fred's name and the name of several other Pittsburgh regional EMS staff who have been lost over the previous year will be added to the National EMS Memorial. So it's still fresh to us. I'm sure that This July will be difficult for us, especially on the 19th and on the 30th. However, you know, Fred was doing what he loved when he died. And his work was his life, and we say that absolutely. You know, his things that he enjoyed most in life were his work. He loved dogs. He had a dog named Lady that he walked that belonged to his friends, and he and Lady had a routine every Tuesday. Lady still comes to Rescue 8 to visit us. She lives in the township. She's a beautiful golden. Yeah, she's a great dog. And in his family and his friends. And so, you know, we're working through that. People have continued to this day to be very good to us. And we are planning with the National EMS Memorial folks. There is potentially going to be a regional visit of the moving wall of the EMS Memorial here in July in North Huntington. So if that comes out, then we'll make sure that we reach out and make sure that everyone knows where and when it will be.
Oh yeah, that would be tremendous. So you said he was 9 years in at North Huntington Township. So many people knew him in the community.
Yeah, Fred had a long EMS history. He worked, a lot of his early work was with Monroeville. Mm-hmm. Fire department based EMS, and with us, and then before that with, you know, a lot of other services, some of which you aren't even around anymore. He did a long stint with the Allegheny County Medical Examiner Office, and so, you know, Fred really was Fred was the thing that people hoped for when they dialed 911. You know, so you think about the comfort and in the moment when it's interesting, we talked about it at the funeral, you know, if you took any paramedic or any EMS person and said, last April, you were at a house on this street, and I want you to describe the call for me. Tell me what you were doing on April 17th on your shift. Describe every call that you went on. Typical EMS providers would say to you, if you tell me that I was at this house on April 17th, I'll believe you, but I have gone on from it. Like, I have completed my paperwork and we are on to the next emergency. It's not cold. It's just the way that you have to be able to do things. You have to have a small memory. You have to, you just see a lot of things. And so, but if you go to the person on April 17th and say, tell me about the day that you had to call 911. They'll say it was a Tuesday.
Right. They'll
know. I was wearing a red shirt. I had just finished dinner. There was someone cutting the grass outside, and then all of a sudden this thing happened and we had to call the ambulance. And so Fred made sure that in those moments, he was the source of hope, reason, and the advocate for the patient that they had hoped for when they called 911. And that's how he spent his whole career. You know, whether it was in the ambulance, whether it was his time working in the hospitals, or even with his time of working in the Allegheny County Medical Examiner's Office, you know, even in death, there are things for the family that have to be completed that need to be done for them,
right?
So that they can have closure and answers to what they need to do. And he did all of those things, and we miss him terribly. And, you know, this July we'll be celebrating and remembering.
Oh my goodness. What a wonderful description. I'm sure his family would be so proud to hear you say all of those things, and our hearts and prayers go out to them. And, you know, please keep us updated, certainly about that traveling memorial for sure. Shane Spielvogel is the executive director of North Huntington EMS Rescue. He's our guest today on Westmoreland Community Connections. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about EMS Week and a car seat rodeo coming up at that organization. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Happy to be here today with Shane Spielvogel. He's the executive director of North Huntington EMS Rescue. Thanks for joining us today.
Again, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Yeah. You know, I know that the timeliness is of an issue, but, you know, as we're recording this show, well in advance, EMS Week is approaching, but it's never a bad time to talk about EMS Week, because every day people who are helped by EMS are thankful and grateful. So what usually happens during EMS Week?
So EMS Week is, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. It shines a light on the amount of a safety net that EMS really is for the community. And we are into all aspects of it. And you can make really any emergency that has a person involved, involves the EMS agency. We're everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's hard to describe really how much we have gotten into the fabric of the community. And EMS Week is an opportunity to be able to celebrate the men and women who provide those emergency medical services. It was actually President Gerald Ford in 1974 declared the very first EMS Week, which was just, you know, EMS in 1974 was infantile. It was so brand new.
Right.
And if your listeners are interested, I would encourage them to look up the story of Freedom House, which is the first advanced life support paramedics, meaning the first paramedics who were trained to read monitors, to give medications, to really have the tools and the knowledge to be able to save lives.
Wow.
More than just grabbing folks, putting them into the ambulance, and running as fast as you could to the hospital. The story of the Freedom House paramedics, which was created through Presbyterian Hospital in the city of Pittsburgh with Dr. Nancy Caroline and Dr. William Saffer, who took African-American men from the Hill District and trained them to be the nation's first paramedics.
Wow.
It is incredible. And from that model, City of Pittsburgh EMS grew across the country. So in 1974, President Ford created EMS Week as a week-long celebration of our nation's paramedics. And then when President Ford came out of office, the American College of Emergency Physicians, ACEP, took up the cause and had it officially declared a national holiday week in 1984. So it took 10 years to get it done, but that's about the right speed for government process, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so typically, you know, you'll see signs of appreciation. You'll see EMS agencies such as ourselves will be highlighting our staff members during that week, maybe telling the public a little bit about our capabilities and some of the equipment that we have and operate, and things that we can do for the community, both on an emergency basis, such as answering emergency 911 calls, and the other ways that we can help and influence the community, maybe as encouraging folks to get CPR trained, hands-only CPR. Know where the AEDs are in your church or in your facility, wherever you happen to be. Have a family emergency plan, that if your family is separated and you are at Kennywood for the day and severe weather strikes, and maybe you can't get back at your, you know, okay, if we can't meet each other, we're going to come to the tunnel, you know, at 1 o'clock or something like that. And it really is a time to shine a light on EMS providers, the work that they do and the way that we do it. One of the major focuses internally has been on first responder mental health and fitness.
Yes.
And so, you know, we talked about the idea that EMS providers, we have short memories. We don't remember a lot about the calls that we've been on. You know, I started in EMS in 1994. So, you know, I've been around for a little bit, and I certainly do not remember every call, but there are things that stick with you. And we have the front row seat to some people's worst day. Yes. Every day.
Yes.
And so, you know, the stigma about getting help, about vocalizing when you need help, and then having the tools and the availability and the support of your coworkers and your peers to go and get that help, is a major focus of EMS Week now. So we are externally showing the public, hey, this is what we do, how we do it. And quite importantly, as you mentioned with the subscription drive, you know, we need the people's support to make this happen. That government funding for us is less than 10% of our total budget. And we're fortunate. We're one of the, we are one of the best funded, municipally funded agencies in the county. And we're at less than 10%. And that number is actually dropping based on our annual expenses, based on their support. Of the 21,000 addresses in North Huntington Township, only about 13% respond to the subscription drive.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's not because I don't feel like it's because anyone wishes us ill will. I think it's got a lot to do with, we're never going to need an ambulance.
We're never going to need an ambulance, right?
We're not ever going to have this thing happen. We're not going to have a child wreck a bicycle. We're not going to fall down the stairs. I honestly hope those things don't happen, but we know that some things are going to happen and we have to be here to support the community. And so externally, it's all those things. Internally, it's an opportunity to celebrate your coworkers and their work and the things that they do and the way that we collaborate to be able to provide an excellent service to the community and to make sure that you're doing buddy checks on your partners to say, you know, are you okay? Mm-hmm. I've noticed that you're not eating the right, you know, like you normally do. You are more edgy. You're maybe a little bit more irritable. You don't seem like you're sleeping, or you don't seem like you can stay awake. You know, is it time for us to go and talk to somebody confidentially, or, hey, you know, if you want someone to go with you, I'll go. Mm-hmm. And so that's EMS Week has taken on probably a different thought than when it's first started, but obviously a very important one.
Absolutely. My goodness. It's wonderful. Great information to share with everyone for sure. Now coming up in late July, I believe July 29th, you have a car seat rodeo. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So one of the services that we provide at North Huntington EMS Rescue is that we have certified car seat and technicians who are able to install properly per manufacturer guidelines, mm-hmm. or check the installation of a car seat in your passenger vehicle. You know, one of the leading causes of injury and death to children are trauma, including motor vehicle crashes. Car seats are amazingly engineered to keep little ones safe, but they have to be installed properly, checked, and making sure that the seat is appropriate for the child who's using it. You know, it's not uncommon. You'll see it's like, well, okay, grandma had this car seat for the first grandchild. We're just going to kind of roll that through and it's going to stay with grandma and pap, you know, for as long as the child is around, until they completely grow out of it. And that's not always the right answer either. And so on Saturday, July 29th, here at the base on Center Highway, we will be hosting a free car seat installation or check event. And information will be available for registration on our social media and on our webpage. It's absolutely free. There are no residency requirements. You can be from anywhere. It just has to be a person with a car seat that needs to be checked. And we encourage appointments, and that link will be on there also. However, walk-ins will be welcome. There just might be a slight delay before we can get you into the garage and have you checked. So it is a partnership between North Huntington EMS Rescue and North Huntington Township Police Department. And, you know, one of the things that we're really happy about is that we have 7 car seat technicians on our EMS staff. And so if people have need to have a car seat installed or checked away from that July 29th event date, they can certainly always call the base and make an appointment. We'd be happy to get them in. We typically are able to get people in for appointments on the same day or the next day. We know that there's not always a lot of time before little ones show up. It's not unusual. We get a phone call. It's like, hi, you know, my wife is due on Thursday and we just realized that we don't have the car seat in the car. Okay.
Buddy, that's
great. We've even had it where it's, you know, my wife and baby are in the hospital and I need to bring them home, but I put this car seat in. I don't feel like, you know, first time parent.
I need help.
First time parent jitters. I don't feel like it's right. Could you check it?
Hey, that's not a bad thing. That's being cautious. I like that. I think that's
we check almost 100 car seats a year.
That's great. And think, yeah. I think how many injuries that can prevent by doing that. My goodness.
Yeah. Wonderful. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, we have about 3 minutes left, and I just wanted to follow up on COVID, because you and I talked over the last year a couple of times about COVID-19 and what it's been like to be sort of on the front line of that. What is the status now? Can you give us an update? What does it look like?
So it's greatly diminished. It's just not gone.
Okay.
The World Health Organization has ended the World Health Emergency. So that portion of COVID is over. The federal emergency declaration has expired. And we are, I feel like, moving to a place where it's an awareness. It's, you know, like it's going to be with us forever in one way or another. And so we advocate, just like every other thing, if you are sick, stay home. Mm-hmm. If you are sick, get care. If you are going to the hospital, you know, many of the hospitals now have dropped their masking requirements. You can go into a hospital without a mask on, unless there are certain conditions that are present. But for the most part, you can go in without, unless you always have the option to put one on. It's your call. But we treat this the same way as we're going to treat a lot of other illnesses. We realize that COVID as a virus will vary, will mutate and show up in different versions all of the time. And so we've decided to take the stance of, we're just going to be as careful with it as we can. So we encourage everybody, if you are coughing, runny nose, sore throat, fever especially, don't go to work, don't go out in public, stay home, rest, call your physician, especially if you have any other chronic illnesses that may be, you know, adversely affected by it. And then if all else fails and you need additional help, then certainly go and seek it. We still have all of the same protective gear on the ambulances. We still follow the same cleaning protocols as we were doing during the pandemic.
Learned a lot, huh? Learned a lot.
The things that we learned that we knew we were in for, and the things that we learned that were completely unexpected, will be studied. You know, we're still trying to understand everything. It's a blur. It was a blender. So from, you know, mid 2020 up until, I don't know, 4 months ago, so many things have changed. And, you know, some breakthroughs on technology will for the better. A lot of the remote learning and things like we're doing right now really came of age because of it, because of necessity. But there were so many people who were lost because of it. So many, a lot of loss, a lot of really great breakthroughs with science and technology and immunology. I feel like we are still aware of it. We still respect it as a disease process, but we're not quite as in the aggressive phase as we were before.
Shane Spielvogel is the executive director of North Huntingdon EMS Rescue. Shane, thanks for being our guest today.
No, thank you. Like I said, it's always great to be here. Always good to be with you.
If you have an idea for a guest on the show, please contact the station. We'd love to have you. We do the show every week. It airs at 7 a.m. and 11 p.m. on Sundays. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.